You're listening to a message from The Gathering. Check us out on Facebook or our website at peopleintheircity.com. Now, prepare your heart for God to speak something powerful into your life.
If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we're kicking off our brand new Christmas series called Christmas Town. Again, that's kind of our theme that we're rolling with this year. Did you guys have a happy Thanksgiving? Yeah, did you get some good food? Did you mix the turkey and the gravy and the stuffing and the cream corn, like, and the mashed potatoes all into one giant glorious concoction? You know what I'm talking about. Come on, have mercy. Yeah, thank God for Thanksgiving, amen? Thanksgiving is amazing. It is. But I will say this, Thanksgiving doesn't have anything on Christmas. Come on, who's excited for Christmas? Who's excited for the Christmas season? And what is it about the Christmas season that gets you so excited? What are the things about the Christmas season that make you happy? What is it about Christmas itself that brings you joy? And look, I'm not even going to be disappointed right now if you say presents. Come on, presents make some of us happy, right? Don't act all spiritual just because we're in church. Like you somehow transcend the enjoyment of receiving gifts. We know you better than that. We know you like getting some gifts. I love getting some gifts. I do love giving gifts as well, though. I do, and I bet you do too. Amen? But come on, what else is it about Christmas that makes you happy? Let me ask it this way. Think back to when you were a kid. You guys remember Christmas when you were a kid? The whole Christmas season? What were all the different things that got you excited about Christmas when you were a kid? What were the traditions you had? What were the smells like? What were the goodies that mom made? What ornaments did you hang on the tree? What songs did you sing? What stories did you tell? When I was growing up, Christmas always kicked off, I mean, right after Thanksgiving lunch ended. My cousins and I, we'd be at grandma's house, and we would start writing our Christmas list then. Like, you got to post that thing on grandma's refrigerator, right? So she knows. Man, we would kick it off right then and there. And then the next day, my dad would get out the tree and get out the ornaments. My mom would start fluffing the tree. And then at the right time, she would let me and my brothers get our hands on those ornaments, start hanging those things on the tree. And she would keep every ornament. You know, over the years, like the paper baby Jesus I made out of glitter and glue in first grade Sunday school class, I bet that's still hanging on her tree. I'm not even kidding. Man, she kept them all. Over the next few days, she would start making fudge and chocolate-covered peanut butter balls and peanut clusters. Come on, puppy chow, all that stuff. She'd start making all that good stuff. And then mom and dad would bust out their Christmas records on the family stereo, the vinyl. I'm talking vinyl records on the family stereo in the living room. It would play from Thanksgiving until Christmas. Well, actually, New Year's Day is when the records would play and all the classics. Come on, Dean Martin Christmas, Bing Crosby Christmas. Even the 1982 classic Oak Ridge Boys Christmas album. Come on, you know about that, don't you? Come on. Jesus is born today. Born it. She's got it. Come on. Do none of you guys know? I thought everybody would know that. You will. Just you wait. The weather would get cold. It would snow at some point. Santa's workshop would come on TV in the afternoon, right? And then Christmas gifts would start accumulating under the tree. Anticipation would build. We had one of those felt advent calendars. You know what I'm talking about, with the tree and the little Velcro figures that you'd put up onto it. Man, it would just start building anticipation throughout the Christmas season. Then we'd always go to Christmas Eve service. And if you were a kid, when Christmas Eve service got out, I'm not sure if this was, I grew up in a Mennonite Brethren church. I don't think this is just a Mennonite thing, because Pastor Greg and I were talking about this. When he was a kid, he got this too. How many guys got the brown paper bag at the end of service? Come on, with the assorted nuts and the candy orange slices. How did that become a thing? Isn't that crazy? But man, you'd get one of those and you'd be so happy. And then finally, Christmas morning would come and it was time to open presents. And I'm just going to tell you, family, I would lose my mind. I would lose my mind when it came time to open presents. You don't even want to know about that. But something special always happened right before we would open Christmas presents. At my house, something special always happened. My dad would always, before he let us even touch a gift, he would always get out his Bible and he would read the Christmas story, the story of Jesus' birth from Luke chapter 2. Now, I'm going to be 100% transparent with you. There were plenty of years when I was a kid when I wanted that story to go by pretty quickly. I'm just being honest. I wanted to get to presents, right? Okay. But it did become more and more special over the years. And you better believe, at the age of 24, when I finally gave my life to Jesus, and I finally began to discover how much Jesus really loves me, people say this all the time. They say, do you understand the true meaning of Christmas? Unless you've given your life to Jesus, I don't think it's possible to understand. I mean, we might say Christmas is about Jesus, about Jesus' birth. Unless you've actually given your life to Jesus, I don't think you can understand what Christmas is really about. But I began to understand. That Jesus really loves me. And man, that story became special. And then I began to reflect on what my dad had done for us all those years. Oh, it became even more special. He still does it to this day. When our family gets together, we don't touch a present until Dad reads the Christmas story. And now I do it for my kids as well. Church, I love the Christmas story. I love sharing the Christmas story. I love Jesus. I can't get over Jesus. And now as an adult, as a man that owes everything to Jesus, as a man that has received so much life and grace and patience and forgiveness and kindness and redemption and healing and salvation and adventure and joy from Jesus, man, I can't get over the Christmas story. I can't get over what Jesus has done. And I'm telling you, I can honestly say I get way more excited about Christmas now and the whole Christmas season than I ever did as a kid. All those traditions, all the activities, all the music, the gifts, the giving, the goodies, the lights and the decorations, all that stuff actually means way more to me now, especially in light of Jesus and everything that Jesus has done. It means more to me now than it ever did when I was a kid. All that stuff actually leads me to praise and worship Jesus more now and all throughout the Christmas season. Come on, the Christmas season is a season of joy. Amen? And that is no accident. We will talk about that, okay? So listen to me, friends. Going through the motions at Christmas time would be a tragedy. Just going through the motions at Christmas time would be a tragedy. Come on, the spirit of Christmas, that like magical feeling that just comes along with Christmas, that sense of supernatural, I don't know, spirituality that comes along with the Christmas season that permeates the air, that is not just for kids. That's for grown-ups. Come on, somebody. That's for grown-ups. That's for the whole family. That's for people that love Jesus, and it's for helping other people get to know and love Jesus. Come on, Gathering Family. Heaven forbid that we ever get used to Christmas. All right? So, hey, here's the title of today's message. You were made for Christmas. You were made for Christmas. Church family, we haven't even been a church for that long. This will be our fourth Christmas together. I'm looking forward to 50 more. Come on, let's grow old together, right? But I've said this every Christmas for the past 4 years, that we have the opportunity to make this Christmas, each year, we have the opportunity to make this a Christmas like no other. This could be a Christmas like never before. In fact, if you love Jesus and are growing in Jesus, then every Christmas really should be a Christmas like never before. Friends, there is something so remarkable about Christmas. Think about this. Think about that very first Christmas. Think about that, okay? Think about how remarkable it is that there were astrologers from another country who saw a star. And scholars believe they may have easily traveled well over 1,000 miles just to follow that star so that they could go and bring gifts and praise and worship to this newborn, unrecognized king. There's something so powerful about Christmas that a wicked king at the time demanded that all the children in a region, all the innocent children, 2 and under, be slaughtered because he felt that this young child threatened his authority. There's something so amazing about Christmas that a bunch of blue-collar shepherds who probably thought they had seen and heard it all, they were out with their sheep one night and received such a glorious, out-of-this-world proclamation about a baby that they then left their flocks behind, ran to find this newborn, and then everyone they told about it after that were filled with awe and wonder as well. And each Christmas celebration, year after year ever since, has carried with it the potential to be just as remarkable and awe-inspiring. If you love Jesus, if you are growing in Jesus, then each year there should be even more to celebrate. There should be more understanding of his love and his grace and his mercy to be appreciated, more thanks and gratitude to be expressed. And what about this? As we grow in Jesus, and Jesus keeps changing us and making us more and more like him, then there should even be more of his glory to be perceived and wondered at. More of his glory to experience and get to worship him for. Church, you were made for Christmas. Now, if you actually stop and think about that just for a second, I'll be honest, that may sound a little funny. You were made for Christmas. Okay, if you actually stop and think about it, you may say, well, wait a minute, actually, shouldn't it be the other way around? What, wasn't Christmas made for me? After all, we're the ones that needed to be saved, right? Amen? We needed to be saved. Okay, well, so listen, that's where we're going to start today. Listen, you were made for Christmas, but I don't want to gloss over this. I don't want to just rush past this either. Christmas was made for you. That is point number one today in our message. Christmas was made for you. You were made for Christmas, but Christmas was made for you. If you have your Bibles, open to Luke chapter 2. We're going to pick it up in verse 8. Read verses 8 through 18. Here we go. It says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them," and don't miss this, "the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified." Another translation says that the radiance of God's glory surrounded them, that they were immersed in the radiance of God's glory. "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid.'" Watch this. I bring you good news that will cause," what's it going to cause? "Great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to," who's he been born to? "You. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. Now picture thousands of angels praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem," let's go to Christmas town, "and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Church, make no mistake, Christmas was made for you. I'll say it this way, Jesus came for you. God himself came to be with you, and God himself came to save you. Did you see what the angel said? He said, "Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you." To you. He is the Lord. Isaiah tells us about this, and he says he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He's our Savior. He's here. He's come to be with us. He's come to rescue us. And church, you have to understand that for the longest time, God had been in the business of rescuing his people. This had been going on for the longest time. But up until Christmas, God had always raised up other people to rescue his people. He used Noah in the flood. He used Joseph in the famine in Egypt. He used Moses to rescue his people out of slavery in Egypt. He used Joshua to defeat his people's enemies He used countless judges all throughout the years to rescue his people from hardships. He used men like King David and King Hezekiah to offer guidance and protection. But now this time, something totally unique, something totally astonishing is taking place. This time, God himself, the Lord, has come to be with and rescue and redeem his people. The angel says, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord is born to you. And in Matthew 1:21, the angel tells Joseph why Mary's husband-to-be gets this message, that his name will be Jesus, for he, Jesus, will save his people from their sins. He's come to rescue. He's come to redeem. Come on, church. If you say you love Jesus, then you shouldn't need much motivation for getting into the Christmas spirit. You shouldn't need much help getting excited about enjoying Jesus and worshiping Jesus and praising Jesus and sharing Jesus during the Christmas season. Christmas was made for you. Come on, I've got some good news that should bring some great joy this morning. Christmas happened because God himself loved you so much, he loved me so much, that he never even contemplated for a moment letting his people die an eternal death in their sins. That's some good news, isn't it? He said, no, I'll leave heaven. No, I'll take responsibility. I'll be born as a baby. I'll live as a man. I will come to be with and rescue my people. That ought to put a smile on your face. Okay, but now think about this, okay? Put yourself in the shoes of these shepherds. I want you to think about this. An angel shows up out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. You're immediately then surrounded by, you're immersed in the radiance of God's glory. Thousands of other angels then show up, and the angel tells you this good news. This good news that God is coming. He has come to rescue you. He's coming to save you. In a few brief sentences, he tells you the greatest news of all time. That God is here for you. Okay, how many of you in that moment, even though this is the most beautiful, most stunning, most powerful experience you've ever had in your life, how many of you in that moment might fail to fully grasp the gravity of what you've just been told? Probably don't get all of it right then and there, right? Listen, this is what I think, but I think this is why they just ran. They leave their flocks behind. They leave their income behind. They leave everything behind and they run to go find this baby. They've got to know more. They've got to see this thing firsthand. And then every person, church, every person after that is astounded by what they've been told by these shepherds. Every person, you got to think about this, okay? This is why everyone who's been told throughout the years, countless people throughout the ages who have heard this news and have received this good news have wondered and pondered and marveled at this mysterious, this majestic, this glorious thing that our God has done for us. It can take more than a lifetime to try to comprehend the full gravity of what those angels spoke in just a few brief sentences. Amen? Countless people throughout the ages have left their former lives behind to discover and live in the midst of this good news. They've trusted and committed to and relied upon this good news. They've trusted and committed to and relied upon Jesus. And here's something so cool, okay? Now, this is just my opinion, okay? Well, actually, this first part is just true, okay? But my opinion might be true too, though. God knows how small our brains are, right? He also knows how big and how glorious and how good Jesus really is. Amen? So listen, here's what I think. He comes as a baby in part, I think, this is my opinion, okay? He comes as a baby in part because he knows if he were just to step onto the scene in all of his glory, we couldn't handle it. We wouldn't get it. We wouldn't be able to comprehend the full gravity of who he really is. So he says, for your sake, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to tuck my glory into a womb. I'll come as a baby. I'll give you a chance to start grasping who I really am. I'll give you a chance to check out who I really am. I'll still be too big for you, but I'll start as a baby to give you a chance to grasp how glorious and good and loving I truly am. And then, church, we get to watch him grow. And even as a child, everything he says and does is good and wise and loving and pure. He becomes a man. He speaks with authority like no one has ever seen. He shows up. He loves. He heals. He teaches. He provides. He reveals the heart of God and the kingdom of God. He does it almost in bite-sized chunks that we can at least start to chew on, even though he knows they're still too big and it's going to take us a lifetime, if not more, to actually discover how amazing these things are. We'll chew on them, we'll ponder on them, we'll be amazed by them for more than a lifetime. He lives the sinless life so that as the angel told Joseph, he can come and rescue his people from their sins. He chooses the most loving way, not the self-serving way. He allows himself to get nailed to a cross for our sins. He dies a sinner's death at the hands of sinners. He gets buried in a grave, but death can't keep a hold on Jesus' sinless life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gets raised to new, glorious, joy-filled life that he alone can share with his people, with anyone who would choose to trust in, commit to, and rely upon him. Church family, Christmas was made for you. Jesus came to earth. You get to meet Jesus. You get to be with Jesus, experience the love of Jesus, and love Jesus back. You get to be in relationship with Jesus. And check this out. Also that you can be with God where you belong. Also that you can be with God where you belong. He came to rescue you. Check this out. This is 1 Peter 3, verse 18. It says, Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to what? To bring you safely home to God. Do not miss that. To bring you safely home to God. Christmas was made for you, but church family, that also points to why you were made for Christmas. Again, that's the title of our message today. This is actually point number two, though. You were made for Christmas. Church family, Jesus came, Christmas happened because he wants you safely home with God. That is where you belong. In fact, that's where God always intended for you to be. Listen to me. God didn't choose sin for us. We chose sin for ourselves. We're the ones who chose to leave God's home. But I will remind you, okay? In fact, we talked about this just a few weeks ago. Your purpose, the reason you exist, is to know God and enjoy him forever. You were made through Jesus because God wanted a family and he wanted you to be a part of it. Let me say it this way. You were made for God to love and enjoy you. Do you realize that? Come on, God made you because he loves you and he wanted you for his enjoyment. He even wants you for his glory. He even wants you because you bring him joy. Do you realize that? Think about this. We were all made in the image of God. I'm telling you, God wants, he wants glory from your life. We were all made in the image of God. Mankind was made to be his image bearers, that as his image bearers, as his family, we might even fill up the earth, spread out across the earth, and the whole earth might then be filled with more and more of God's glory. And we get to live in the midst of it. I think these shepherds right here, I think they just got a momentary experience of what God always intended for his people. They stood there immersed in the radiance of God's glory. I think that's what God always wanted for his people all the time. That was his plan for you and me from the beginning. So listen to me. Yes, Jesus came into the world for us, but before that ever happened, you and I, mankind, we were created for Jesus. Here's what I'm saying. If we're not careful and we focus too much on Christmas being for us, we run the risk of missing the whole truth, which may lead us to convey an idea that Jesus, and this may be subtle, but that Jesus somehow exists for us, that he exists to save us. When in fact, here's the truth. We exist for Jesus. We exist for Jesus. Are you following me? You were made for Christmas because you were made for Christ. You were made for Him. You were made to be with Jesus. You were made for Jesus to love you, for Jesus to enjoy you, for Jesus to pour out joy into your life. And you were made to love and enjoy Jesus and to bring Him joy and praise and worship and even more glory. Come on, one more time. I'll say it this way. Jesus came for you because you were made for Jesus. Hebrews 12:2 says this. It says, because of the joy awaiting Him. Come on. Think about that. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Well, what joy was He waiting for, family? Come on, what joy was He waiting for? The joy of having His people right where they belong, existing for their purpose, living out the God-given design and purpose that they have to know God and enjoy Him forever. That's the joy He was after. Christmas happened. Jesus was born because you exist for Jesus, and He wanted to ensure that you would exist for that very reason. He endured the cross. He died for you, and the joy that you bring Him when you're home with Him, living out the very reason you exist. Are we getting this today? Come on, somebody. Do I need to sum this up? This isn't in my notes, but this is, Jesus loves you. Come on, He loves you. He created you because He loves you and He wants to love you. Long before we ever sinned, the idea was, I want people to love. I want people that exist for me to pour into, for me to love, and yes, for us to be in a relationship with Him and love Him back. You exist for Jesus. Don't miss that, church. Come on, you need to hear this. Your life is loaded with potential to bring Him great joy. Your life is loaded with potential to bring Him great joy. And I'm not talking about being perfect either. Listen, have you made the decision to trust in, commit to, and rely upon Jesus? You make that decision, I'm telling you. You remember when Jesus got baptized, He comes up out of the water and hears this voice from heaven. The Father says, "This is My Son with whom I'm well pleased." I'm telling you, you make the decision to give your life over to Jesus. I'm not talking about perfection. Jesus is the one that will perfect you. I'm talking about a repentant heart. Man, you enter into a lifestyle of repentance, and there's that voice. This is My Son. This is My daughter with whom I'm well pleased. Your life is loaded with potential to bring Jesus joy. He loves you. And you will never experience any greater joy in life than when you're living out the very reason you exist, which is knowing and loving and enjoying God and giving Him glory as He loves and enjoys and shares His love and joy with you. Church, Christmas happened before you, or Christmas happened for you because you were made for Christ. And that's why, church, I'll say it again, it would be a tragedy for anyone who says they love Jesus just to go through the motions through the Christmas season. Christmas is a season of joy. Amen? And that is no accident. Church, here's my desire, okay, that we would enter into the Advent season, and as we do that, we would do so intentionally, that we would do so on purpose. Do not let this Christmas season come and go. Don't allow Christmas just to happen. Don't allow yourself to go through the motions. Let's go through the Christmas season like we mean it. Living with purpose, living for the reason we exist. Let's allow God to take great joy in us as we live to love and enjoy Him. My prayer is that you'd receive greater joy this Christmas than you'd ever received any Christmas before. And my prayer is that God would receive greater joy through you and me than He's ever received through us before. And then I pray that we'd keep topping it every year after year. Come on, church family. Here is one way we can give Jesus great glory, great joy this Christmas. Let's spread the joy of Christmas all over this town. Let's spread the joy of Christmas, the story of Christmas in us. Let's spread that to everyone around us. I'm talking, you start with your kids, your mom and dad, your brothers, your sisters, your family. And spread out from there. Talk to your friends, your coworkers. The people all around us, let's spread the joy of Christmas like nobody's business this Christmas season. Let's share the Christmas story with everyone around us, with those that we love and adore, and with everyone around us that we love and adore who we may not even know yet, but they need to come and know Jesus. Let's allow the Christmas story to get shared through us as we enjoy our God, and let's give him great glory by allowing his joy to immerse our lives more and more. And through us into more and more lives of people all around us this year. Come on, this can be Christmas Town, amen? This town was made for Christmas, but you were made for Christmas. You were made for Christmas. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Let's pray. Let's just be honest this morning. Maybe you showed up in grace this morning. You showed up to the right place. But maybe you need joy this morning. Maybe if you're honest, you're saying, yeah, I hear you saying this is a season of joy. I'm just not there yet, and I don't know if I'll get there. Maybe if you're honest, you're coming off a rough year. I believe this. Jesus still has joy in mind for you. Jesus has happiness in mind for you. Jesus, his life that he gives, he permeates joy into the lives of his people. And it's a joy that is above and beyond circumstances and hardships and just good times that we might be able to come up with. I guarantee you, Jesus has joy in mind for you. He has blessing in mind for you. I wonder if we need to shift our focus this morning from the things we've been focused on, the rough year, the season we've been in. Maybe we need to shift our focus onto something you might think, oh, that's just, I don't know if I can muster this right now, but what if we shift our focus to an attitude of thanks and praise? What if we begin to express gratitude? What if even right now you begin to say, Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you that you came for me. Thank you that life doesn't have to stay this way. Thank you, God, that you give me joy. What if you ask him? Jesus, I want you to fill my heart with your joy. Maybe this is the Christmas season where you need to give your life to Jesus for the very first time. Maybe you need to come home this Christmas. Maybe this is the Christmas season where, oh man, you allow Jesus to live out his Christmas story through you like you've never done before. Or you allow others to share in the joy that God is pouring out into your life. Maybe this is the Christmas season where you tell somebody here at the gathering, maybe a prayer leader or a neighborhood gathering leader or a pastor here, maybe you tell somebody what's really going on. The thing that's robbing your joy, the thing that makes you feel like you're stuck, maybe this is the Christmas season where you actually tell somebody, here's what's going on, here's what I'm struggling with, and you let us love you. And you let God pour out some healing. And you watch as joy begins to flood into your life. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you, church family?
Thanks for joining us today. Please know you're always welcome to worship with us on Sunday mornings. Also, if you would like to give to our ministry, you can go to our website at apeopleintheircity.com. We hope to see you soon, and God bless.